In today's news headlines, the United States now leads the world in confirmed cases of coronavirus infections, with the total being at least 81,321 people. So far, just over 1,000 people have died from the COVID-19 virus. The U.S. is the world's third most populous country, behind India and China. The news of the grim milestone comes as hospitals are overwhelmed with patients, particularly in New York City, where the need for ventilators is so great that hospitals have now begun sharing a single machine between two patients. A Detroit physician named Dr. Charlene Babcock created a video tutorial of how to split a single ventilator four ways, and in it, she says this.
If it was me and I had four patients and they all needed intubation and I only had one ventilator, I would simply have a shared discussion meeting with all four families and say I could pick one to live, or we can try to have all four live. But this is clearly off-label and likely would only be used in a dire circumstance.
That's Dr. Charlene Babcock in a video where she shares her method of sharing ventilators for COVID-19 patients whose airways are shutting down amid a massive national shortage. On Thursday, President Donald Trump said this in an interview with Sean Hannity.
I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators. You know, you go into major hospitals sometimes, they'll have two ventilators. And now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators? So
Trump was responding to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's desperate plea for 30,000 ventilators. On Thursday, the New York Times reported that the federal government was on the verge of cutting a deal with General Motors and Ventec Life Systems to manufacture as many as 80,000 ventilators at a cost of about $1 billion. But at the last minute, the Federal Emergency Management Agency backed out of the plan. The Times explained that, quote, the only thing missing was clarity from the government about how many ventilators they needed and who would be paid to build them. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, has warned that other states ought to take heed from what is unfolding in New York, the current epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S. He explained in an interview with NPR that, quote, the testing situation is infinitely better than what it was a few weeks ago. We now have hundreds of thousands of tests out there, and in the next week or so, we'll be having like a million a week. While the U.S. has indeed tested more people than any other nation so far, its per capita testing still falls far short of other countries. According to the Times, about 65,000 coronavirus tests are being performed on Americans each day, a meteoric rise from just 10 days ago, but about 150,000 tests are needed every day. President Trump could invoke the full power of the Defense Production Act to compel private industries to ramp up production of necessary equipment, but has so far refused to do so. On Thursday, Brett Giroir of the White House Coronavirus Task Force defended the president's inaction, saying, quote, industry is pouring in with offers. Everything we have asked, they have done, and they come every single day to provide more and more goods. Earlier in the week, Trump had compared the use of the DPA to what the government of Venezuela is doing. He said, quote, we're a country not based on nationalizing our business. Call a person over in Venezuela, ask them how did nationalization of their businesses work out. Not too well. But Trump has ignored or not been challenged by Fox News with the stories of equipment shortages that are already costing lives. In New York, a nurse manager named Caius Kelly at Mount Sinai West became the first healthcare worker in New York City to die of the coronavirus. The 48-year-old nurse has become a symbol for healthcare workers struggling with a shortage of personal protective equipment, or PPE, amidst a deep need for masks, gloves, and gowns. His co-workers directly blamed his death on the lack of PPE. On Friday, the House of Representatives passed the massive $2.2 trillion stimulus package that the Senate had passed earlier this week. The measure was approved by members of both parties by a voice vote. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said upon the bill's passage, quote, today we've all acknowledged our nation faces an economic and health emergency of historic proportions. Trump is expected to sign it into law right away. The New York Times on Thursday published an editorial saying the stimulus was not enough. In unusually strong language, the editorial board wrote that U.S. lawmakers, quote, appear to regard mass unemployment as an unfortunate but unavoidable symptom of the coronavirus. In contrast, quote, a number of European countries, after similarly failing to control the spread of the virus and thus being forced to lock down large parts of their economies, have chosen to protect jobs. For example, quote, Denmark has agreed to compensate Danish employers for up to 90% of their workers' salaries. In other news, the Environmental Protection Agency on Thursday issued a broad set of rules relaxing standards for polluting industries and citing the coronavirus as justification. The sweeping deregulation has no end date and relies on companies policing themselves to meet safety standards and violations of regulations like the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts. The EPA order says that the agency, quote, does not expect to seek penalties for violations of routine compliance monitoring, integrity testing, sampling, laboratory analysis, training and reporting, or certification obligations in situations where the EPA agrees that COVID-19 was the cause of the non-compliance and the entity provides supporting documentation to the EPA upon request. A former Obama-era EPA official said to the New York Times, this is essentially a nationwide waiver of environmental rules. It is so far beyond any reasonable response, I am just stunned. The Wall Street Journal has reported that immigrants in federal detention facilities have revolted at least three times this week over fears of the spread of COVID-19. In three cases this week alone, authorities have used pepper spray to subdue immigrants. So far, there are two documented cases of detainees becoming infected. Immigrant rights advocates are demanding that detainees be immediately released for their own safety and for the safety of the staff and officers working in the centers. A similar concern has arisen among advocates of imprisoned people, and U.S. Attorney General William Barr is now reportedly requesting that the Federal Bureau of Prisons expand the use of home confinement in some cases. In election news, presidential candidate Joe Biden will participate on Friday in an hour-long CNN town hall to discuss the coronavirus. Biden, who has struggled with visibility during this crisis and faces a new controversy over accusations of rape and sexual assault by a woman named Tara Reid, has refused to debate his rival Bernie Sanders. The former vice president, however, enjoys widespread support from the corporate media. Finally, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock have both tested positive for the coronavirus. In a short video, Johnson asked the British people to, quote, stay at home. His administration had refused to implement stay-at-home policies for several crucial weeks, claiming that so-called herd immunity would protect people. And that does it for our news headlines today.